Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Delicious Talk. I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, and this evening's guest co-host is Master Jay. Master Jay is a sought after writer, speaker, seminar presenter, life coach, and alternative lifestyle expert and advocate. His professional and knowledgeable presentation of otherwise controversial material evokes interest and healthy discussions from people of all walks of life and orientation. Master Jay, are you there?
I sure am. I was jamming to that Ronald Isley song, Keep It on the Down Low. It used to be the jam.
Oh, yes. Yes, it did. And I loved it, seeing that video as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was jam. So how are you this evening?
I am fantastic this evening. It's been a wonderful day, and I appreciate the topic that you have selected tonight, and also that you've kind of enlisted my two cents to help out.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and helping me out tonight with this. For those who are just tuning into this show, if you don't know anything about me, I'm an author. I also blog, co-host for a couple other blog talk shows. I'm also an actress. I just come back from Kentucky yesterday doing a movie down there. When it gets out, I'll keep you guys posted on that. I have two books out. One is What's Past Is Not Forgotten, my second book, You Might Get Lucky. If you want to order those books, you can go to my website, which is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com. Now, without further ado, Master Jay, I was on Facebook, and I posted the question, you know, if you had a best girlfriend for years and years and years, and you grew up and, you know, did all the girly things that girls do, and all of a sudden you find out that she was on the down low, would you still be her friend, or would you, you know, just walk away from this friendship? And some of the answers I got were quite surprising, opposed to when I put the question in, if a woman was married and, you know, had the white picket fence and garage, two beautiful children, you know, just happy as she can be, and then her husband tells her that he's in love with another man. Those answers were like stabbing answers opposed to the women, because for some reason, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's more acceptable when women are bisexual or gay or on the down low. Is that true, or how do you feel about that?
Well, not to sound too biased, but bisexual women rock from my perspective. No, I'm just kidding. well, actually, of course, within the Western Civ, bisexuality between women is certainly far more socially acceptable based on the porn industry. You know, it tends to be a whole lot more bisexual girl-on-girl pornography and printed lit than gay male sex. And in fact, that whole reason that we're even talking DL, of course, is because a man kind of coined the phrase within the African-American community,
right,
via his book.
Right.
So we didn't even have such a moniker to put on to describe what's going on. But yeah, so to answer your question, yes, in Western Civ, clearly girl-on-girl sex is considered less taboo than male-to-male sex.
Now, is that because men are so macho, or, you know, just what, you know, what is the perspective behind that? Because men changing over to be women, is there any difference in that, or, you know, just what is the deal with all that?
Well, again, what, you know, my answers, and I just need to preface this for your audience, you know, I'm certainly not attempting to be the moral police when I give my answers, but just pretty much from what appears to be accepted. I think from a sexual perspective, men, based on our genetic constructs, we are the givers in a sexual encounter. And based on the way the woman's anatomy, that is, the woman is the receiver. And it has been considered taboo for a giver to be a receiver. So, you know, the whole idea of natural penetration, male to male, is usually looked on with more disdain than it is when two females, you know, just from an anatomy perspective.
Right. I was feeling that same way because I don't know, for some reason, you know, women are soft, and I think, you know, it's okay for women to touch each other, hold each other, even kiss each other, opposed to men doing that, because it's just, I don't know, I guess it's because men are basically rough and, you know, they're hard. They may give a high five or something like that, but, you know, to see two men hugging and kissing and petting each other, that's basically when you think of them as being gay or, you know, on the down low, whereas when women do it, they're not necessarily gay, you know, because women can do that.
Don't I understand. I understand your point. I understand your point as well. I really do. But I think when we talk about this topic, we wouldn't even have this discussion had not the male who is the author kind of coined the phrase. When I usually speak to this topic, I usually place, if I may, DL into three categories. I usually place them, the first category, when we're talking about women, I usually place the first category as unethical DL.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about unethical DL from a female's perspective, being a woman that's in a relationship that is agreed to be monogamous,
mm-hmm.
but without her partner's approval, knowledge, or consent, she engages in maybe it is heterosexual sex with another male, or it may be bisexual sex with another female.
Mm-hmm.
It may be swinging. It may be BDSM. It may be a whole host of fetishes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that the topic of DL is limited to when a woman is merely with another woman, or when a man is with another man. I think the key to being DL is when the agreed upon constructs of a relationship say one thing,
mm-hmm.
but then secretly the woman engages in, again, it could be maybe she's in a heterosexual marriage or relationship or has a significant other.
Right.
And he thinks that they're in a one-on-one relationship, but outside of him, maybe she has a male sex partner or several male sex partners.
Mm-hmm.
She may be bi-friendly, she may be bi-social, bi-curious, bisexual. She could swing. She could be involved in all sorts of fetishes. So that's the first category that I deal with, unethical DL.
Okay.
Mhm.
Okay, now I want to get a little bit on the bicurious. If a
mm-hmm.
woman is bicurious and say she gets with another woman, does that make her gay, or is it still that she's bicurious and just satisfied that curiosity?
Yeah, well, you know, those are terms that you know, the novice tends to just run amok with. I am not a post office employee because I've gone to the post office and utilized the services.
Right.
So a woman that has been involved in a bisexual act does not make her bisexual. It means that she's a woman that has acted in a bisexual way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not bisexual because you've had an experience with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been a curiosity that has been satisfied. And I also don't think that more than one, just because there have been more than one, you know, acts of acting out bisexuality, you know, make a woman bisexual.
Okay, when does it get to the point that she is bisexual?
I think she's bisexual when she actually has a strong affinity toward sex with other women.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, when she actually has moments where she doesn't prefer men, and there are times wherein she prefers to be with women,
okay,
is when she could be considered bisexual. But just because, again, she's participated in bisexual acts certainly doesn't make her bisexual.
Okay, I'm going to do a play on words. Now, what makes a person gay?
Well, a person who is gay is actually a person who 24/7 lives their life in a homosexual or in the same sex, on the same sex level, wherein their lifestyle is such that, you know, they have either chosen, you know, or for lack of a better terms, agreed that gay sex or same sex is their preferred sexual practice.
Okay. So I really would like to speak to somebody who is either on the down low or who has been on the down low and can give us an enlightenment as to how they got there and what went on, and are they still there? And if they're not, you know, what made them come back?
And you know what, before we do that, I would venture to say, because, you know, again, I've just spoken to one of the areas, the unethical DL. I'm going to go out here on a limb, Delicious, and say that I believe that 95, if not 98% of the people who are listening to this broadcast are on the DL right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm going to validate my claim in a second.
Okay.
Will you permit me?
Oh, no doubt.
Okay. Again, unethical DL is, again, the woman who has agreed that she's in a monogamous relationship and secretly, without her partner's approval, knowledge, or consent, engages in, you know, a myriad of different sexual practices. There's also another category that I want to expand DL to be discreet living.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of down low,
right,
I want to call it discreet living. And
right,
those persons or those women can be single women or unattached women, and they have a specific image to preserve or to protect. It may be a career image. It may be a community image. It could be a familial image. And on one hand, it is very conservative. It is very professional. But secretly, these women engage in an explicit array of sexual activity. That if it were publicly known, it would compromise their public persona. This single or unattached woman may have multiple sex partners at the same time. They may engage in bisexual activity. They may swing. They may go to swing parties. They may have a variety of fetishes. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. I'm just saying what it is. That, in a, from a purist perspective, that would be considered DL, or discreet living,
right?
Wherein you have a single or unattached woman. And I guess how many of the your women that are listening right now could honestly say if what they do or some of their fetishes and some of their passions were publicly known, that their families, their coworkers, their employers or employees and such would look at them, you know, with disdain or with repute. So that's the second category, just people that are on the DL or have discreet living. And then thirdly, there's the ethical DL person. And that's the woman who is married or she's attached or has a significant other. And with the, within the context of her relationship with her boyfriend, husband, or significant other, she has permission and she has his or her consent to be involved in with what the mainstream pop culture would consider deviant, sinful, or risque, or even forbidden sexual behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So she may be your coworker or go to the mosque with you or go to church with you, or she may be your next door neighbor or, you know, wait on you in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And she may be married or have a significant other, but they have agreed that she has the permission and the consent to delve into the sexual melting pot and explore whatever she chooses to explore. So my contention is that the author who came out with the book, Living on the Down Low, he only, in a very surface personal testimony kind of way,
mm-hmm.
dealt with a very limited and tainted aspect of quote unquote DL and gave it a a negative connotation. And I'm here to say that DL doesn't have to be negative.
That's true.
DL is only negative when it's unethical. It could be discreet living, wherein you have a particular image to protect and preserve,
mm-hmm.
or it could be ethical when you and your mate, marriage partner or significant other have agreed that it's okay for you to experience extreme sex. So I would almost be sure that 97, if in fact what I just described is DL, the real DL, which I know it is, not 97%, maybe 98% of your chat room and listeners fall under one of those three categories. Either they're unethical, creeping, cheating. They're either, you know, they have a career, an image that they're protecting and preserving, or they're in relationships where it's okay for them to delve into what the mainstream would consider forbidden sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I might add, for the woman, her sexuality has been suppressed, particularly, you know, when you look at, here are some stats, Delicious. Up until around 1970, women who ejaculated,
mm-hmm.
I can say female ejaculation on your show, can I?
Almost definitely. We're
okay,
all
good. Yeah. Women who ejaculated as recent as 1970, shout out to women that do, by the way. Women who did prior to 1970, as well as women who had what were considered larger than normal labias and clitoris, were considered to be psychologically ill, and they would be referred to electroshock treatment.
Wow.
Okay, as recent as 1970, but when the sexual revolution movement came and the free love movement and the whole Hugh Hefner movement with Penthouse and the with the Playboy Mansion and such, what it did, it brought to the forefront the female sexuality, and it began to celebrate her sexuality, and porn became mainstream. And porn with women that ejaculated and that had all sizes, various sizes of clitoris and labias were being thrust into the forefront. And so many were being celebrated through porn that the very things that were disdained by, you know, pop culture or at least mainstream society were now being viewed as more accepted. So my point is, women's sexuality has been suppressed, and we see now that women are taking more control of their sexuality and delving into various areas so that they're experiencing some freedom. So you're going to, that's one of the other reasons that I'm saying that many of your listeners and your chat room people, they're taking control over their sexuality. They're saying, regardless of what the mainstream views as taboo, if I have a curiosity, if I have a fantasy, if I have a desire, I'm mature enough to take matters into my own hands. Pun intended, by the way.
Okay. Wow. Well, with all that, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back, okay?
Sure. Right. And I feel your heartbeat
you just can't get enough. I'm talking about early morning love. Talking about early morning love. Around about the time the sun comes up.
Welcome back. That's Lou Ross, Early Morning Love, and this is Delicious Talk. I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, with my co-host, my guest co-host, Master Jay, and this evening's topic is Sisters on the Down Low. So, Master Jay.
Yes, indeed.
Are you ready to take any phone calls or anything, see what these people are talking about? Want to ask?
Yeah, and I will say that the chat room has confirmed my theory. Many of the sisters in there are raising their hands and say, yes, based on the definition, I'm on the down low.
I
fall in one of the categories.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with that, you know, because... you know, like you said, women are more liberal now with their, you know, their sex as before when it was suppressed back then. Would you say that?
I would say it was suppressed, and I also think that the author who came out with and who, you know, kind of coined the phrase limited DL to having negative connotations, and I'm simply suggesting that it has negative connotations only mm-hmm. when it's unethical.
Right, right. Yeah, because I read that book, as a matter of fact, and his wife had wrote another book, Living with Someone on a Down Low, or whatever,
yeah.
But yeah, I read that book.
Yeah, that's just one perspective, a very biased perspective, that doesn't represent all of what could be DL from a discreet living and an ethical DL perspective.
Right, because they, you know, like you said, changing the word down low, because down low meant so, it was so different, you know, when I was coming up, if you told somebody, let's keep this on the down low, don't tell nobody, or something like that, but
right.
He really changed the whole thing to, you know, what he wanted it to be, but, you know, that's that. So let me grab a caller here.
See if they're shy.
Okay, 202-903, are you there? Hello? 202-903, are you there?
I don't think they want to say anything.
Okay, I guess they're just listening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see, we have another caller here. 301-281?
Guess they're listening too.
Okay.
Maybe they like listening to me.
Oh,
and
well,
you.
You
they like listening to you. They don't like listening to me. They like listening to you.
No, you had that hypnotic voice.
Is that it?
Yes, you do.
There's so many ladies in the chat room. Maybe we can recruit them for the DL. No, I'm just kidding. Well, let me make mention while some of your callers are getting courage. Two particular books that I think really speak to women claiming their sexuality. One really came out during the whole free love movement. It's been reprinted in the sexual revolution in the 70s. It's called The Ethical Slut, and it's subtitled A Guide to Infinite Sexual Possibilities by Darcy Easton.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, certainly that particular book puts a different spin on the nasty kind of base way that women are viewed because they, you know, desire fetishes and fantasy fulfillments.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another book entitled Lust in Translation and subtitled The Rules of Infidelity from Tokyo to Tennessee by Pamela Druckerman. And she too, you know, puts a different spin on the whole concept of monogamy and sexual activity. In fact, in her book, she shows that America is probably the most hypocritical of all of the countries that she did her case studies in, wherein most of the world celebrates diving in, you know, head first into their sexual discovery, wherein Americans talk moral in the public, but dive in head first in private.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think we have a caller now that's willing to speak. 301-466. Hello.
Hi, how are you, Delicious?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
This is Shy Libra girl from the chat room.
Hi, darling. How are you?
Hey,
I'm
Shy.
Okay. Hi, I'm enjoying this conversation tonight. I don't know. I guess the definition, as far as let me say, I love vitamin D, as everybody in the chat room knows by now about me. And I'm listening to these definitions that Master Jay is giving. They're very convincing. I can appreciate the mature level in which he's making his delivery.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like there is this double standard when you talk about it's not necessarily bisexual. You gave the example working at the post office. However, if a man was put in that position, and I don't want to change the subject, but I'm just trying to say, how can it now be said with a woman, she's not bisexual? She's just curious.
I see. Well, the reality is, and don't let anybody fool you, it is a double standard.
Okay.
Whether, you know, we like it or not, you know, it is a double standard. And, you know, men tend to be celebrated for their promiscuity. Women tend to be vilified. But on the other hand, as it pertains to bisexuality, men tend to be vilified for, you know, bisexual behavior, and women tend to be celebrated. It is a double standard.
Okay.
And, it, you know, you can't really theorize it and make it philosophical and eloquent. That's just the bottom line. It is a double standard. And quite frankly, I'm not trying to change that standard.
Okay, you're being selfish.
Yeah. I like this the double standard, the scales being just as unbalanced as they are. I support that.
Okay, and one more thing before I go back into the chat room. I'll be just curious, amongst your men, your male friends or counterparts, do they think or have these similar thought processes? Because we're in the chat room and it's nothing but women, and now we're all clawing, saying what you possibly look like. Look at this shortage again. So it's almost like we're being forced to kind of again, I guess.
Be bisexual. Wonderful.
I guess I don't want to trivialize it and be insulting to anyone who enjoys the company of another woman. So I don't kind of want to do that, but I'm just curious how are other men viewing this and talking about this?
Well, let me just say, I mean, it's not a secret that women are smarter than men. So typically, you know, women are far more cerebral sexually than men are. So women typically require, you know, more than the physical as it pertains to sexuality. Wherein men, you know, men will show up butt naked in the bedroom, ready to go, and a sister, you know, will require some conversation, some connectivity, and some other things. But to kind of speak to your original point, you know, women tend to be more cerebral, so you're going to have, you know, more women gathering around the intellectual elements of sexuality than men. Not that men aren't cerebral, but just more women are than men.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you. And again, I enjoy, this is a very, very, very good topic. I'm sorry it's only an hour long.
Yeah, I'm sorry too, but that's all the time Blog Talk is giving me.
Thanks again to both of you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, so, well, I guess I really didn't get the answers that I was looking for, but do you know what makes a woman, you know, particularly go that route? I'm not speaking of a woman who's been molested or
mm-hmm.
you know, anything like that. A woman, let's just say a school teacher.
Yeah.
Who's married and, you know, then, you know, she wants to be with another woman. What's going on with that?
Yeah, speaking to the woman and her freedom now, I don't think we have to put a whole context around it. It can be just flat out that's what she wants to do, and it's okay. You know, it doesn't have to be a whole storyline behind it. She has the freedom and the maturity to want to explore, you know, bisexuality, and you know, because she does, it doesn't vilify her, it doesn't make her less of a school teacher, an engineer, or doctor, or soccer mom. It happens to be on the sexual buffet,
mm-hmm.
and she desires that, you know, that's something that she enjoys to partake in.
Okay, someone else wants to say something. Caller
803-466. Hey, how y'all doing this evening? This is Thomas. What's going on, Master J?
Hey, what's up, my brother? Good to see you.
We were just talking. Me and a young lady. We were there's another host on here, Nika Cherie, and we were talking about, you know, the state of the situation with black women. And I think there's more. I mentioned you because I was telling there's more. I think black women are opening up to the idea of being in a cooperative relationship with, you know, with a man where they're amongst, you know, several women, as long as there's a certain level of maturity, you know, responsibility and on everyone's part.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, you know, if you're talking about, like, you know, in Atlanta, I mean, you damn near shan't dudes anyway, because the dudes who are choosing to have alternative lifestyle and be homosexual, you know, there's a very small limited pool of what you would consider quote unquote eligible men based on whatever their standards are. So, you know, it's a very interesting conversation. There's a lot of women who are starting to open up about that. I was saying, you might need to have a show about telling them some of the benefits, because, you know, instead of looking at it from, because there's a lot of women who look at it from a situation of, you know what, you know, I want what I want, but, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, a lot of women being left out in the cold versus, you know, if you had a situation where everyone worked together, you know, you have a father, you have a structure there, you have someone to help, you know, raise children, then you can have, you know, more than one mother, you know, but, you know, we got to evolve a little bit before that to happen.
Yeah, and just for the benefit of the audience, he is, you know, still speaking to the topic because, you know, that would be considered DL because or discreet living, because that might not be something that she broadcast to her, you know, her social circle, her coworkers, and her other family members, but within her relationship structure, she might indeed, you know, be in a poly situation. And that would, of course, be considered ethical DL from a, you know, a dominant society perspective. So he's definitely, you know, right on point.
Yeah, yeah, these women, I mean, because, you know, there's a certain sense of shame, because, like, I know I have female friends, like I told you, I got friends that are up there in the D.C. area, you know, very attractive, making their own money, you know, but at the end of the day, they still need a man in order to have that bit of security, you know, that they're looking for, because they all want a man. And, you know, there's a certain level of ego that goes into that. They want to say, that's my man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day. So, but I mean, like I said, it's a serious problem. You know what I mean? Like, I think they said something like, if you took every man, black man and black woman, and you paired them up and leave out the ones in jail or, you know, homosexual, you know, I think they said it's like 3 to 4 million black women without a man.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I think it's a viable solution if, you know, people are mature about it, you know?
Okay, thank you. We have another caller.
All righty.
My thing is, it's okay for a woman to have another female be with another lady as long as the man is comfortable with her sharing herself with him and her.
Is this 919-834?
Yes, it is.
Okay, hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, welcome. Repeat that, because it sounded pretty thought-provoking.
I said, what I said was, for a woman to have be with another female is okay. It's just as long as the woman is honest with her man and let him know that she's sharing herself with him and someone else. That's what I'm saying. I mean, some guys are okay with a woman, you know. It's not really a denial. Some guys are okay with, as long as all parties are included. That's what I always mean.
Okay, yeah, and she's speaking to the category that I named ethical DL, wherein, as she stated, there's agreement and consent among all parties. And there are plenty of women in America that are living in that lifestyle where they do have a female lover and their male significant other or their main female significant lover is aware of it.
I mean, that's the key thing. I mean, as long as the person is aware of it, they might be okay with it, but the more you keep in front of them, they probably be, you know, get suspicious. I mean, I know a couple of people that's okay with, don't have a problem with it, just as long as, not to say all parties, but as long as the person let you know what that person, what they want or what they feel. I mean, whatever makes that person happy is okay, just as long as, you know, they tell the other part or whoever what exactly that they feeling. The more and more you keep it a secret for a long, long time, they kind of, you know, feel hurt. But if you come out in the open and tell that person what you feel, they might be feeling a little bit more comfortable. Even your partner that you have, the more and more you tell them little by little, the more comfortable they feel. But you keep hiding for so long what you feel, and they probably, you know, they be feeling like, what I did, but you... I mean, it's nothing wrong with having a desire or having feelings for someone else or something that's different. Sometimes feelings, it's okay to have those feelings just as long as you, even if it's little by little, you show what you feel and what exactly that you want to have. Yeah, no one can keep no one happy, but working progress between two people, you know, making things happen is always good. That's what it is. I mean, if a woman feels... doesn't like enough, doesn't, it's not into me, it's totally into women, there's nothing wrong with it. I wouldn't really say, you know, it is on the DL, but somewhat, I mean, you know, as long as the other person makes the other person happy.
Yeah, well, again, DL is not necessarily a bad thing. DL can be discreet living or discreet lifestyle, or it can be consensual DL. It only becomes a potential problem as if, you know, when it happens, when it's actually creeping, cheating, and unethical. that's when they can become a potential problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having another partner. People have multiple partners, but each partner knows one another. Makes it a little bit more, you know, understandable or acceptable.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's... And for women to do that, what women are simply saying is, I'm taking control over what I want. And just because I'm not, you know, Miss Huxtable or Ward Cleaver doesn't make me a bad woman because I have certain fantasies and fetishes. You know, so I celebrate and embrace women who, you know, don't allow the dominant society to think for them.
What does Sandy always say? You whatever you want to be to keep yourself happy. The only person you have to keep happy is yourself, not the world. So if that other person makes you happy, then there's nothing wrong with that. Nobody saying nothing. It's all about what keep ourselves happy. What we into society. I don't really worry about society either. There's a lot of things wrong with society right now. Society can be over there helping Haiti right about now. Society need to be concerned about what's going on with Haiti right now.
Well, definitely much love to you. You've definitely been a valuable contributor to the call tonight, and make sure you keep tuning in to Delicious Talk.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. And that's what's more important about society right now, man. Have you seen what happened to that country over there?
Yeah, but this is not the show for that right now, but our thoughts go out to them for sure.
No, I know this is not the show for that. I was just saying that's more important. I'm saying that's what society should be focusing on right now than what we're dealing with. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a more bigger issue than, you know, being discreet and all that. Right now, society, their mind need to be elsewhere.
Right.
We appreciate that, but we
Thank
have another
so
call
much.
On the line, and we do appreciate your calling in. And you have a good evening, okay?
You too. How do I get your books and stuff?
I'll put it up in the chat room.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Caller, start 123. Hello?
Maybe they're just listening, too.
Yeah, I guess they're just listening. Yeah, well, the time is winding down, but I was really hoping that someone would call in who actually was a woman on the down low, or a man. It really doesn't matter. We have another caller here. Let's see what he's going to say. Caller 202-903, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
I'm very good. It's been good listening to you and speaking with Master Jay this evening. I am in a polyamorous relationship right now, so I guess you can consider me a cross between the ethical DL and the DL, meaning discreet living kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
The question I have for Master Jay this evening is, what are kind of the, in his opinion, the top challenges personally and otherwise for someone such as myself? What does he think? And maybe challenges or pitfalls of that polyamorous relationship in terms of the DL?
I think some of the challenges simply are, you know, it is not the accepted standard for society. And, you know, if indeed, you know, it was known among your coworkers, your community, your family members, the varying opinions, the varying biases that are associated with believing or buying into a traditional relationship mode, you know, that could be a challenge. So the option may be, you don't need to be a renegade as long as you're fulfilled. You know, you don't have to be the evangelist for polyamory or discreet living and go tell it on the mountain and make sure all your coworkers and and community, you know, buy into what you buy into. So I think some people unnecessarily have a need to, as it were, come out of the closet and broadcast what they do. And that could be a challenge. Not that you're ashamed of it, but you understand the nature of the context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not in Rome, so you're not doing what the Romans do. You know, so that's my major take on that. I wouldn't necessarily call out a pitfall, other than being, you know, a minority, as it were.
Okay, well, I guess the flip side of that coin is there has to be definitely a great number of rewards and or gifts involved in a person's life when they choose, you know, to accept the fact that they are on the DL.
Yeah, indeed, because, of course, there's, you know, over 500,000 people in America living an open lifestyle of polyamory, and then you have, millions more living on the DL in polyamory. So to that extent, there are support groups and events and websites and affirming contexts to be involved in, to experience the kind of support that the community and family would necessarily bring.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your comments.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Okay, we're down to 2 minutes, Master Jay, and this show has been a very good show. I'm quite sure everybody in the chat room appreciates you coming on. I definitely do. I want to say thank you, guest 4725, guest 4754, guest 4862, guest 4900, Miss Egypt 99, Novella, Shy Libra Girl, Sir Sherry, Start 123, Sweet Smile, and Miriam Mimi Jacobs was in the chat room. My next show won't be until February the 5th. It's going to be Black History Month, and that show is going to be a tribute to Barry White, Teddy Pendergrass, and Marvin Gaye. So I hope all you guys come back and for that show. And Master Jay, you're definitely going to be another guest host on another show of mine. I hope you don't mind coming back.
Well, certainly, if your people will have me and you'll have me, I'll certainly make myself available.
Oh, no doubt. You're definitely going to come back. So, everybody, like I said, thanks for coming in. And my next show is February the 5th. I appreciate y'all, all you guys, and you have a nice evening.
Good night.
Good night.
Some other girls are feeling you.